first time I ever got that to work right away.
Wow.
All right. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Boy, what a message from Pastor. I loved it. It just touched me and my wife anyway. But last night, really, I asked my wife. I was sick. I thought, oh, here we go. I'm going to get it. I'm going to be puking all over. My mouth is watering in the middle of the night. I said, gosh, you know what the first thing came to my head was? I can't miss church. I don't want to miss church. Did I want to miss church? I got to feel better. I got to get to church, man. I got up and I went out there on the recliner. I had the puke bucket with me. Nothing ever happened. And I woke up. I said, you know what? My stomach's hurting, but I'm going to church. You know what? I feel great, man. I got to eat this today and everything. I'm just telling you, man. There ain't nothing like it. There's times, you know, you have to be home when you're sick, and I totally understand that. But just today, there was something in my heart. I knew that when I came here, I was going to see most of the Asquith boys, and I love hanging out with them. I love seeing them. Every year, I look forward to just hanging out, laughing. Even if I only see them here, it's still a good time. I enjoy it. And, gosh, just what a good day to be in the house of the Lord. My friend Chris is over here. Good to see her. My mom's sitting here. Got Tiffany here, her friend. That's a blessing to me. I like seeing that. But, you know, Pastor talked about the gift. I'm just going to tell you now, I got the gift. And I'm just telling you, that gift, if there's no return or no refund, there's not even a desire to even go ahead and try to give that thing back. I wouldn't desire to give back what the Lord gave me for a million years. And I'm going to just tell you, I'm not going to tell you all of what's going on, but I know I can tell you this. We're going through it, man, me and my wife. And when that pressure comes, where do you stand? When that pressure comes, where are you running? I tell you what, you try to run back to this world, all it's going to do is the same thing that it's always done to you, and it's going to hurt you. But you run to the arms of Jesus Christ and start laying in His arms and trusting Him and trusting what His Word says. And I'm just telling you now, it's life-changing. It's been life-changing for me and my wife. And how is it, Pastor? Me and my wife are driving around, and we're discussing Bible. Just talking about what's going on with this salvation movement, this easy believism and all that. And then yesterday morning, my wife's like, hey, honey, look at this in the Bible. And, hey, look at that. You know, what a life to have it filled with that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, amen.
Where me and her are not sitting, and I mean, in the hard, hard times that we are going through, divorce is not discussed, beating each other up, drinking and drugging and everything else is not even happening. But we're sitting here and we're talking the Bible and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, getting the family together, reading the Bible and saying, you know what? As hard as it gets, it can't get that hard with Jesus Christ. It gets hard for us in the flesh. But I'm just telling you now, Jesus somehow, some way, makes you smile in the midst of it.
Amen.
He gives us joy in the center of that thing, and you still find that peace and that joy, and I think it really drove me and my wife to stay. It's gotten to the point now, and I'm not bragging. Lord, forgive me if anybody thinks I'm bragging. I'm not. But it's gotten to the point now at dinner, the kids, you know, Autumn sets the table. The Bible automatically goes on the table now. She knows we're reading. During dinner time, that's our time to get together as a family and read. So when I go down to sit to have dinner, bang, there's the Bible sitting there. And I know, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss the Bible. We're going to read it. And what a blessing that is. And I told my wife, I said, you know, Amy, I said, what a victory for Jesus Christ that he pulled me and my wife out of a life of sin and He saved us. I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure I'm washed in the blood. My wife professes that. I believe I don't have any reason to doubt it. That's between her and God. But I believe my wife is saved. And He has saved us. And He pulled us out of the flames. And I just told her yesterday, I said, could you imagine now, Amy, what a victory. Because she has, you know, she struggles with things. I catch things, you know, I'm an ex-convict. I see things that maybe a normal parent wouldn't see. I catch the little schemes going on with my kids and all that. And I pull it out, man. I let them know about it, you know. And sometimes she'll try to let it slide. I'll stop right there for a minute. And so I just said, Amy, you know what? I said, we got to stay on top of this thing. I said, what a victory for the devil. Here, Jesus Christ saves me and Amy. But look at all of them going to hell. How would that be? Do you don't think He's after my children? He can't get me and my wife. sure come after my children.
God.
Why would I not put this in my family? Why would we not stand on this? Why would we not, for in a million years, take this thing and take it to heart and take it serious and do what it says? People, I'm telling you now, the devil, if you're not saved, the devil's after you just as well as he is my own children. I know, it's not a big deal. You have tomorrow. You have the next 5 minutes. You got the next 30 seconds to play with. We all think that. What about that little baby who just passed away an hour ago? What about the one who's getting shot in the street corner? What about the one that's getting stabbed up in jail or prison? What about the one that's just falling over having a heart attack? What about the alcoholic? What about the young, healthy stud that's out there running track and just falling dead of a heart attack? And are we immune to that? We can, would you sit there and honestly, and be honest with yourself, and go ahead and answer this question. Would you take a gun, put some bullets in it, spin it, and just take that chance? Every single, you know you wouldn't do it. You ain't that much of a fool, but you do that with your eternity. You're doing that with eternity every second that you're passing up what Jesus Christ wants to give you. You're doing that. And you know what? When that trigger pulls, man, it's over with. There's no getting it back. You're not going to go jumping into hell. Oh, yeah, my friends are gone. I'm going to go to hell and party with my friends. You're sadly mistaken. You've been blinded by the devil. You've been blinded by the God of this world. He wants you to absolutely believe that. And guess what's going to happen? The Bible says that them angels are going to come and they're going to bind you hand and foot and they're going to cast you into the lake of fire. That's it. They're going to cast you into. You're not voluntarily going to go. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to believe it. It's America. Believe what you want to believe. But what a sad day it's going to be for me as a Christian to have to stand there and watch somebody that I knew get cast in when they've been warned. Been warned. You know what? Here's the problem. This is what the message the Lord gave me. The desires of thine heart. Oh, God gave you the desires of your heart. Read Romans 1 about the ones he gives the desire of their heart to. Read Romans 1 if you want to see what God leads you to the desires of your heart. Oh, what he says in the book of Psalms, he'll give me the desires of my heart. It says you got to read the first half of that. Don't leave that out because it's the full Bible. It says delight also in the Lord. Then, this is where I'm going to preach on the light. The desires of thine heart. Where are your desires? It's not hard to see from, and I'm not just saying from standing behind the pulpit, but living as a Christian, living in a Christian life, living as the life that the Lord has given us, it's not hard to see where most people's desires are. They really think they're hiding it, and they're not hiding it. You're a fool if you think you're hiding what you're really living. I told somebody, I said, if you really honestly think you're sitting here and you're fooling anybody with your lifestyle, I said, the only one who's fooled is you. You believe you're hiding. Everybody else can see as clear as day. Where's the desire? Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. And I'm just going to tell you, God has been good, man. God has been gracious for the last, it's been a while, a couple months now, 6 months. My family's been through some pretty rough waters. But just in the last week, I mean, God has been so gracious. Why would he want to be merciful with somebody like me who does not? I don't deserve a bit of grace. But the Lord has answered prayers for me and my wife just in the past week. He's given me absolute definite answers. I know what I have to do. I know what has to be taken care of. And what a wonderful thing that is. Because you're looking at somebody for 40 years, lived a life full of hell, couldn't lead a family if you wanted to. Yeah, I had Jesus Christ step in my life, and then now he gets to lead my family. I'm following him. I'm going to go after Jesus Christ. He knows better than I do about my family. How's that? So why would I not bring my family and not does it mean my family's not perfect? We're not perfect, man. I mean, we sin. I mean, we mess up. We fall. We make mistakes. My wife said, you know what she was explaining to Luke? She said, you know what the difference is, Luke? We don't want to stay in that life.
Amen.
The Lord shows us. We repent. We get out of it and move on. We don't want to stay in that. That's the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. Anyway, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Have you ever really sat back and really thought, what are the desires in my heart? Has God been moving in my heart and trying to get me to take a look at the desires of my heart? Today we're going to take a look at what the Word of God says about desires. Desires. Desires drive us. They move us into a direction. They make our thinking the way it is. Our desires, I mean, it's a drive second to none. It's a push, and it's going to push you in one way or another. And the Bible is very clear on the desires. And let's go to Mark verse 15. Excuse me, chapter 15. I'm having a hard time. Let's go to Mark 15. Mark 15. It's probably because I'm sick, half tired. I didn't sleep all night long. I know how you feel, Mike. I'm driving. You're up driving. I'm up sick. Just sick. I was sick. So I don't sleep much anyway. My wife goes, well, you know, I'm getting used to not sleeping. Really, that's what it is. I'm just getting used to not sleeping. So now, you know, my normal time to getting up, while most people are sleeping and comfortable and having a good time, guess what I'm doing? I'm getting up out of bed. I mean, hurting like crazy. Just about barely moving across the house. I'm getting up about 4:30, 5 o'clock every day now. I get excited because I get to read the Bible, and it's absolutely silent in my house. Silent. I get excited because I'm like, it's quiet. The kids are sleeping. And I'm looking, and there's my Bible and my binder. I'm like, it's me and you. It's me and you, God. Let's get into this thing. And, you know, and I just, I don't know. Yeah, call me crazy. That's right. I'm crazy. You, if you think living the life that I used to live was normal, you're the one who's crazy. Now there's some normal stuff coming in my life that the Lord has healed. You know, he stood there in front of the Pharisees. The guy, he says, by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands here whole. He was healed. This guy was in the, then the guy who was cutting himself up there in the tombs, and so, he said he was dressed and clothed and put in his right mind. People are afraid of that these days. They think I'm the crazy one. They think I'm the one who's nuts because I've been clothed and put in my right mind. You walk around, and you know, brother David Vernon said it best, we're the odd man out these days. Those who have salvation, those who are really, honestly, born again of this Bible, who are absolutely 100% saved, or we're out there trying to preach and show people salvation, the true salvation, the real thing, the Bible salvation. He said, you know what we are, Brother Dale? I said, what's that? He goes, we're the odd man out. I said, boy, you ain't kidding there. People look at me like I'm a deucer when I start telling them about things. I mean, man, I'm not even going to get into that. We're going to get into the desires. We're going to go to Mark 15, verses 6 through 8. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, now at the feast, he released unto one prisoner whosoever they desired. You see that word desire? They desired this prisoner. And there was one named Barnabas, which laid bound with them that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done to them. Here's a picture of the people desiring the ways and the ways of this, the ways of the people and the ways of the world over Jesus Christ. They are absolutely 100% desiring to have a murderer go free than to choose the Savior. And I'm just going to tell you now, let me not get ahead of myself. It says, we know that the ways of this world and those who are friends of this world are an enemy. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. And they sat there, and then Jesus is watching this whole thing go on. He says, who should I release unto you? Him, the murderer, or Jesus? Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, the people are choosing the murderer. The people are choosing this world over Jesus Christ. They're going ahead. Why? Because they're friends with this world. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do with what he can do for them. They want, hey, I know people all the time who are sitting there screaming out for, hey, I need deliverance. I need help. I want this and I want that. You try to sit there and tell them, hey, I got the answer. You know what the answer is? His name is Jesus Christ. He wants to step into your heart. He wants to step into your life. And he wants to change it. But guess what? They don't want Jesus Christ. Guess where they head back to? The world, Pastor. You try to tell them, no, the world, there's nothing out there for you. Don't become a friend to this world. Don't let the devil blind you. The world's what's hurting you. There's something better for you out there waiting. Oh, don't tell me I don't know there's something better. Don't tell me I don't know, because 40 years, I mean 40 years I lived a rough life. 40 years. I can blame stuff for my past, but do you know do you know, this is one of the things that the Lord taught me, do you know, Mike, that there came a day in my life, when I became old enough to make a decision for my own that I couldn't blame what happened to me anymore? That was my choice. It was my choice to be angry. My choice to be hold on to bitterness. My choice to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. My choice to go out there and do those things that I did. My choice. Sure, that stuff that happened to me influenced me. But no longer was it that driving me. Now it was me. And you know, I really had to see that. And God had to bring, I don't know about you, but I'm just telling you this. When you start getting on that path, and God is starting to change your life, and things are starting to change, and then God says, you know what, I think you need a taste of what you used to be. And He starts turning you over to yourself. That's a scary, rotten, dirty place to be. I'd rather puke a million times than to go ahead and go back and see anything of the stuff that I used to be. I would never want to put that in my life again. I show my Sunday school kids this. I can show you this. The Lord put something on my heart. I said, Dale, you need to work on this. And I got a little sticky notes on my phone. I put that on my phone. You know why? Because I'm going to work on this thing. Why? That's my desire. My desire is not to be like this world. My desire is not to be a friend of this world. My desire is to be a friend of the one who died for me. Do you realize there's only one person who ever died for you that will ever die for you? And His name is Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? Somebody here on this earth may be able to die for you, but they can't get you into eternity. They can't get you out of the flames of hell. They can't deliver you from that thing. How many of us say, oh yeah, here's my good friend, and they'll be there for me. And I'm just going to let you know right now. Your friend in the flesh, you trust in the arm of the flesh, the Bible says, you're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to make a mistake. Nobody's perfect. But I'll tell you one who won't hurt you, and His name is Jesus Christ. I mean, when you're hurt, broke, tore up, and you just don't know where else to turn, I'm just telling you, fight your flesh, fight with everything that your sin nature is telling you to do, and turn to Jesus Christ and watch the difference in it.
Amen.
I have a wife. I have a pastor that I'm close to. I have my mom that I see all the time. I have all that stuff. But you know what? There's times that I have to be with Jesus and Him alone.
Amen.
That I can't turn to anyone else because not a human being can't give me the comfort He does. Can't give me the answers that I need. Sometimes there's answers that I need, and guess what? I desire that. I desire the day, again, hopefully soon, that when I'll sit there reading my Bible, I desire that the Lord will come down and visit with me like He did a few weeks ago. I desire that. That's something I wish I could have on a daily basis, but you know what? I can't because I'm a knucklehead. Straight up, I'm just a knucklehead. The Lord's got to teach me things. But desire. What are people desiring these days? It says that you're an enemy. If you're an enemy of God, if you're a friend of the world, the Bible makes it plain and clear. And guess what these people are choosing? They're choosing a murderer over Jesus Christ. They're friends with the world. That's what they'd rather have, a murderer. And yet, as they chose a murderer, so do we and many other people. Friends with this world means we agree with how they live and what they believe and the things they do. We agree that killing each other, sodomy, abortions, drinking, and drugs, and much more. When we choose the world over Jesus Christ, we choose the world like the Jews chose Barnabas. We choose them. They said we can let this go, we can let Jesus go, we can let Him go, and they said no, crucify Him. Do you know every time you choose the world over Jesus Christ, you try to re-crucify Him? You spit in His face. You kick the crown of thorns on His head. And you know what? You have no regards in your heart for what you're doing to Jesus Christ. None. None. It doesn't bother you a bit. You know what's wrong with this world anymore? There's not a fear of God in anybody. None. I didn't have a fear of God in me. The fear of hell doesn't save anybody. Did the fear of hell ever save you, Amy? Sure didn't. People are so locked up into this world. Their desires are so fixed on the things of this world that they're blinded. That's why it says that they're blind. The God of this world has blinded their minds. They're so fixed on this world that choosing the things of this world like it's really going to help you, God. Listen to me. I'm running full force away from this world. And so are many of the older people in this church. We're trying to run full force away from this world. And most of you young people are trying to run into it. Your desires are all messed up. I'm telling you now, I don't care what you think, who you say you are, what. I'm just telling you now, there's no help like the help that's in the King James Bible. None. There's no help like Jesus Christ stepping into your life. I'm telling you now, a man-made pill, 19 pills a day that I was on, my wife is right there as a witness. Not a man-made pill could help me. Not a psychiatrist telling me to sit down on the couch, let me help you with your problems, couldn't help me. He just told me, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. And that's when it was time for Jesus Christ to start getting in there. It's right around the time he came around, isn't it? Not much longer, you started coming around, taking over this church. How's that? Man couldn't help me. I was unhelpable. My mother, wherever she is, I love her. There she is. My mother, do you know my mother's love never stopped me from doing anything I wanted to do? My mother's love never stopped me from being a drug addict, alcoholic, a womanizer, all that stuff. It never stopped. Never changed who I was. My mother seen me do some pretty horrible things. It didn't change me. Jesus Christ did, though. How's that? Stepped in one time. That's all it took. One time for him to step in and get a hold of me. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you don't think that Jesus Christ is real, I wish that I could put a big video up of my life and just say, look at this and look where I am today. I'm telling you now, he's as real as they come. This thing is not a fable. This thing is not fake. This thing is real. How does it take a person like me, Pastor Randall, Brother Mike Rizzuti, most of the guys that I haven't heard, you know, they've done 10, 15 years in prison, all this prison time, drug addicts, alcoholics. How does it happen? How does it happen for us people who've been in that predicament to come out on the other side and start getting into this Bible and start living the way we live? How do you think that happens? Oh, you think that I can't go out there and be a criminal? Bet you I'll beat anybody in this room at being a criminal. You think my whole past, my whole criminal life has just left me? The thoughts, the way I know how to make money? You think that's all just gone? It's not. There's a difference in me now. There's not a desire to go out there and do those things. And that's, I mean, we've been through some hard times where I'm just telling you right now, I mean, I could have went out there and thieved some money, thieved some food. My wife knows. My mom knows of how good of a thief that I was. That I went out there and I went into a store and I stole so much stuff that we had a flea market, a lawn sale. All brand new stuff with the tag still on it. That's how much stuff I stole in one day. One day. You don't think when we're hurting I can go out there and do that? I sure could. But you know what? The desire is not there for me to go out there and do that. That desire has been changed.
Yeah, amen.
You know what the desire is now? Amy, come on. Things are getting rough. Let's go out there and pray. Let's stay in church. Let's get in this Bible. Hey, we're just going to trust God on everything. We don't have nothing else to turn to. I'm glad we didn't have nothing else to turn to, aren't you? Really, I'm glad we didn't have nothing else to turn to. We're, you know, when most people are getting out there getting divorced and all that, it brought our family closer. Tell me it didn't. Jesus, you know what he had to do? He had to bring us to a place. He had to bring us to a place where the only thing we had left was him. Go ahead, Mr. Christian. Let God bring you to that place. Let God bring you to that place. See how it feels. But would you trade it, Amy? Would you trade? Could you imagine what you'd be like out there without Jesus Christ? Could you imagine what I would be like out there without... Oh, yeah, this thing, yeah, you're right, it's not real. The Bible's not true. No, yeah, you're right, it's all fake. This stuff is all fake. You're right. You go ahead and believe that. When you're holding on to the edge of eternity, when you're holding on to the edge of hell, and I'm standing there going, why? And shaking my head going, why? It didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to be this way. Change your desires. Listen, there's more to desire than the things of this world. Hey, see what? Times get rough. Big deal. Could you imagine me ever saying that, Pastor? You know I used to get real wimpy over that. But I just know that things happen. Whether it be something I did wrong or it's just straight up life. Things just happen. Constantly. Do I live in pain or do I not live in pain? Constant 24 hours, 7 days a week, I'm in pain. But I'm going to tell you right now, my life is not over. I have just started living. I am not ready to give it up. Listen to me. I push myself to the limits because I enjoy the things that I do. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy studying the Bible. I enjoy Sunday school. I enjoy getting out there hunting when I can. I enjoy getting out there working with people and going to visit and all that stuff. Hey, man, that's a good life for me. I enjoy coming home and kicking my shoes off and having a home, not a house. There's a difference between a home and a house. We have a home. We have a home that the Lord's building. A home. Hey, my wife wasn't taught how to be a wife. She wasn't taught how to be a mother. People can testify that my wife did not like our children. She just did not like them. We had a talk about it the other day. She said, you know, I like our children and I love them. That's what she told me.
God bless you.
That's healing from the Lord right there. I'm just telling you right now. So go ahead and think this whole thing is fake and this stuff ain't true or whatever. And I'm just telling you right now. You know what it takes? It takes a different desire than you have. You know what it takes? It takes getting rid of your desire and getting the Lord's desire. Letting that come into your head and your heart. You try over and over again to do the same thing that you've always been doing, and guess what you're getting? No results. Then do something different. Plain and simple. Now, will it be easy? No, it will not be easy. It's just funny because we were just talking yesterday, and we're both just sitting there saying to ourselves how much we did not, how much we hated. How much we do not think or miss smoking, drinking, partying, fornicating. That's just conversations we had. Gosh, I just don't miss that anymore. Gosh, I'm so glad that's gone. And wow, I'm so glad the Lord stepped in and God is doing this. And man, this is great. You know why? Because He's given us the desires of our hearts now. I'm just telling you right now, you filthy, rotten people out here who ain't saved, you think God's going to give you the desire of your heart? Go ahead and read Romans 1. There's the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get. You can't leave all out the first part of the verse where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. You can't delight yourself in the Lord unless you have a desire for Him. How many of you in the last 24 hours really desired the Lord? Just be honest with yourself. How many of you really done it? You know you have it because you're sitting in the same boat wondering, how do I get out of this thing? And you know what? The answer keeps coming up to you. And you know what? You don't want to take it. You're just going to keep doing what you want to do because you have the answer. No, you don't have the answer. You ask, how dare these people are out there doing the drinking and the abortions and the smoking and the drugs. When we choose the world like the Jews did in Mark, so do we. And the unsaved people, you ask, how dare they do that to Jesus? We do it when we give into the world and the desires are fixed on the world over Jesus Christ. We do those same things to Him over and over again. Do you understand? If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. And if you're an enemy of God, you're agreeing with the world. And you're agreeing what they do and you're agreeing how they live. You have the wrong desire in your heart. A call to holiness. I just told my Sunday school this. I said, you know, that people like the new Bibles because a call to holiness is out. You don't have to live that way in the new Bibles. There's no call to holiness. There's a call to holiness. God says, be ye holy for I am holy. Well, does that verse not mean anything to anybody in this room? Be holy for I am holy? Is that not me? So that's not part of God's word? Is that what you're telling me? Then go get NIV, ASVB, and all of those other verses, Bibles, and you can have that exact thing. You don't have to worry about being holy. They take holiness right out of the Bible, Tanya. How's that? They take anything that had any kind of holiness. There's no separation. There's no different lifestyle. You know what? There's not even change. You can have your rock and roll music and everything else and go ahead and go and call yourself a Christian and sit there in one of their churches with one of those Bibles and you're just fine. Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost don't mind you listening to that stuff and smoking dope and drinking. No, you're good. You're fine. Go ahead. You can have, go ahead. The churches are out there, man, if that's what you want. If you can't handle the real thing, if you're not man enough to step up to the plate and live the real deal, go ahead. It's out there for you. You know why the churches act like the world? Because they're of the world. They're of the devil. He's a liar and he's a follower of it and he's got followers all over the place. Millions of them. And they're calling themselves Christians. Go ahead, you can have it. Say it. What a sad, sad thing that people who call themselves Christians desire that garbage still. Oh, I want to be saved, do you? Pastor said it this morning. He's a reward. I said it in my Sunday school. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And you know what? God means that when He says diligent. God means wholehearted, not half-hearted. Don't come around and tell people you want salvation and you want to be saved and you want change and come in and try to be half-hearted. God is not going to compromise for you. He sure didn't compromise for me. I was coming at Him His way. No compromise.
compromise with the way he wanted it, and that's all there was to it. And until I reached that point, I was unsaved.
Just how it is. You are not going to make God compromise for you. Hey, you know what the sad thing is? God's not going to stand there on the edge of hell,
lie or compromise his holiness to save you from it. You know why? Because he's righteous. He's holy. Okay? He has the right judgment. He knows the right call. To us as humans, we go, gosh, that would be pretty mean. No, it would not be mean. You're the one who rejected him. Now, he didn't reject you.
You ever notice, you know, Jesus, everybody knows the story that Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody. Even people who aren't that much well-versed in the church know that Jesus Christ, at least they know that's what it says. So if that's the case, who's rejecting who? God didn't send you to hell, you sent yourself to hell. You rejected him. But that's your desire.
Hey, there's plenty of people in here who like to warn you not to go that way, to get some different desires in your heart, but you know what? We can't stop him, man. I can't stop. Excuse me, I'm talking all funny like I'm from other stage or something. I can't stop Luke and Autumn from going to hell. You do realize that. It has to be something that they do. That's their choice. They have to get that right with God. I cannot do that for them. If I could, I sure would. God cursed me rather than my children, but I'm already safe. I'm safe. Yeah, it's done. Oh, but I asked Amy, I said, no, I want you to picture something, Amy. I said, I just want you to take 10 seconds and look at your daughter and your son. Now imagine them being tied up, them angels casting them overboard. Would you watch? That the victory we want to get the devil? I can't force them into salvation. But I can do like Pastor and many other people do, and that's raise their children according to this Bible. And trust that the Lord is going to take care of them. It may be that one of my kids may not get saved. God's still right. He's still right. Because they chose to reject him. He didn't reject them. His arms have always been open for them. They chose. That's a hard thing to swallow. That's a hard thing to swallow, that some of us have children in this room right now that may not ever make it into eternity. And when they do, it's going to be in the flames of hell.
That's not God's will. That any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know what? But listen to me, parents. We can help change that desire in their heart. We can help them see the difference between this wicked world and Jesus Christ. We can help them not choose Barabbas, but yet show them how to go towards Jesus Christ. We can teach them that. We can show them that. But where's your desires? What do you want your children to see? What do you want them to be? Please don't tell me you want them to be like this filthy world that's already hurt every one of us. Every one of us sitting in this room has scars of this world. And you want to send your children out there like that?
It don't happen. We can break that cycle.
Hey, I'm just telling you right now, by the grace of God, I may not be anything to you, and that's fine, but by the grace of God, I am who I am, and that cycle has been broken right here, and I promise you it's been broken. Because when I stand in front of the Lord, he can't say, Dale, just didn't do it right with your family. You showed them the wrong way. Your desires were all messed up. You taught your kids. He's not going to say that to me. I'm not going to stand there before Jesus Christ, the one who saved me. And I'm not going to have to answer for my kids. They're going to answer for themselves. You know what? My desire. One of my desires in my heart is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness to my two children. Be a witness to my wife. The desire. What desires do you have really in your heart? It's Christmas time. Yeah, we're all looking forward to gifts and this and that. I really ain't. I don't care about a gift, really. I got a gift. Thank you. They're sitting right there. Right here. Never in a million years would I thought that I had a woman that loved me the way my wife loves me. Never in a million years. Just the way Autumn looks at me and comes up and hugs me and all that stuff. I can't believe somebody loves Dale Morey like that.
Amen.
I just thought, my son, to you guys, you might think this is funny and it may not be nothing, but you know, to him, I'm a superhero.
Amen.
That means a lot to me. Because there ain't a thing in this world I would have ever, ever wanted anybody to ever look up to me at for. Nothing. But you know, God's grace gave me a family. Because he loved me. How's that? It don't have to mean much to anybody, but it means everything to me. I got 10 minutes, so I'm going to keep going. Turn to Luke 20. Luke 20, verse 46. Where's the desires at? We need to think about where's our desires. are you really desiring in your life? What are you desiring for your kids? Luke 20, verse 46. I don't know whose water this is, but I'm drinking. Tastes good. Luke 20, verse 46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes, love greetings in markets, and the highest seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms of the feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive the greater damnation. We see here another desire people have, and that's a desire to be religious. Oh, everybody wants to be religious. The desire for some form of religion over a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like the Jews, as we do ourselves, chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ. People choose to be religious over having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know I don't have a religion? People go, what religion are you? I said, I don't have a religion. Thank you, I have a relationship. His name happens to be Jesus Christ, but I am a Baptist. That's how I answer it, because I am not in a religion. I could not get this close to a religion. I get close to my wife because me and her have a relationship. There's love there. There's communication there. There's companionship there. There's everything. That's a relationship. I have that same thing with Jesus Christ. I don't have a religion. You can't have that with a religion. No, I'm sorry. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. His name is Jesus Christ, but I am a Baptist. That's how I answer. I don't need your religion. But you know what? People want religion. They want some form of something. Do you ever notice, whether it be Satanism or Catholicism or whatever else, people have to have something to worship besides themselves, because God had instilled that in them. They just got the wrong one. They got the wrong God. They have the wrong thing. They're going in the wrong direction. They don't understand that, but they want to stand up there and like this says with the long robes, and they want to be religious. And you know what he said? Yours will be the greater damnation. I told Amy, I said, gosh, could you imagine the people in the few churches that I know, Brother David Vernon's church, our church, and other churches, there's people sitting in that church today who were religious, going to hell, have totally missed over the whole relationship with Jesus Christ, and chose religion over a relationship with him. That's what's happening. That's what's going on in the churches today. You know what? They'll come in, they'll slip in, they all look good, they act right, do everything perfect, and go home and live a life of hell. That's religion.
Religion doesn't change anybody. It makes them crazy. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Here's the fact. If I had only religion, I'd be some nut out there trying to blow people up, kill them, and everything else. I mean, I'm just saying, that's what religion does to people. The Catholic Church has done it. Islam has done it. Nation of Islam has done it. All these people are out there killing over religion. I don't have to kill over religion. My relationship with Jesus Christ tells me to go out there and love somebody. And I'm not talking about this fancy-pantsy, tiptoe through the tulips kind of love. Okay? Because I'll tell you what, the people I deal with now, you try to walk up to them with that kind of love, and they're going to laugh at you. There's a real love that Jesus Christ can show these people. Why? Because he showed it to me. I never knew love. How many times have you heard me tell you, I never knew love until Amy Lynn Morey came into my life. I just didn't know real human love until my wife stepped into my life. And I seen, whoa, that's what love is? That's what love is.
But you know what? They'd rather have religion. There's no immediate consequence for them living this lifestyle. So they have no desire to be saved. Acting religious and then living like the world and calling it Christianity. They desire self and don't understand the consequences they are reaping for themselves for eternity. People, do not sit here. When's the last time any of you sat here and thought about your eternity? Where you're going to spend eternity? When's the last time you really just honestly thought about it? I'm not saying not everybody didn't think about it, but when's the last time you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? When has that desire come into your heart where you go, you know what, I better start getting this thing pretty serious. I better start taking this thing pretty serious. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you thought about it? Proverbs 18:1 says, though desire of man, having separated himself, seeketh the inner man of all wisdom, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. There has to be a desire to separate yourself from the sin nature, the world, and your old life. This desire will not come until God is fully convinced that you are tired of who you are and doing the things you do.
We see in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. One of two things will happen when you see your heart. Number one, you'll blow it off. Or number two, you will desire something different. I know when God started showing me my heart, I did not want what I was seeing. I wanted something different. That's the point where people make that choice. You're either going to say, okay, I got it. God's got to show me this. That desire's got to come into your heart. We say, I'm ready to show me what, you got to just show me what I need to say. Or, here's what most people do. Oh, I'm not looking at that. And their desire for God has become on the back burner. Because people don't like, be honest with you. Be honest with yourself. Do you really like to see when God shows you who you are and what you are? Then the person in this room that say, yeah, if you did, you're a nut. But that's where most people make that fatal mistake. Is when God starts showing them what they really are, who they really are, and starts dealing with them, they don't stand there like a man or woman to face it. They blow it off and move out. That's a sad place to be. I'm going to finish this up here. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but his heart may discover itself. You see, a fool. A fool doesn't want to see what he has. A fool doesn't want to see what she is. Doesn't want to see it all. But I tell you what, when God starts showing you, it's a different, whole different thing. Anyway, Hebrews 6:11 says, and we desire that every one of you show some diligence of the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When that desire comes, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, will be fulfilled. And when your desire changes, Psalm 37:4 says, and then he shall give thee the desires of heart. The desire of your heart will change. You know what? I don't have the same desires that I had a month ago. They continually change. The closer walk that I have with Jesus Christ, the more I'm in his Bible, the more I sit under the preaching, the more the Holy Ghost convicts me, the more my desires change. They become different all the time. For the better. For the better. When they start veering off and becoming the worst, catch it, because God's trying to show you your desire is messed up. You're taking it the wrong way. But my desire is, and I'm not perfect at it, so please don't ever think I am. I don't claim to be. But my desire is to walk as close as I can to the Lord while I'm here on earth. And to guide and direct my family into the direction that he would have me. To guide and direct the ministry to where he would have me to be. Listen to me. If I sit here and start doing this stuff myself, I might as well close up shop, because I'm going to mess it all up. I will destroy everything that I ever put my hands to. The only reason why I stand, and I'm not talking about this position alone, but in the position of being the head of my family and so on and so forth, is because no matter how many mistakes I make, I still, my desire is to have him show me how to do it.
Amen.
My desire is not to do it myself, because I would mess it all up. So that's just part of it. Change it. Let God show you what your desires are. Sit back and really ask yourself, what desire do I have? What am I really desiring in your life? What do you really want, Doug? Because you know God's been showing you some stuff. You know it just as well as I do. Man, look at what he's showing you. Follow his desire. Let his desire become your desire. I'm just telling you right now, it's life changing. And I'm done.